Susie B with you on a Friday afternoon. Hope you're having a beautiful day out there. I'm so excited and honored, actually, privileged to be introducing to you Kathy Kallick and her band. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kathy, and then we'll get to some music right away. And they're going to introduce the band in between a couple of tunes, and we're going to come back for some Q&A with me. I'm going to put Kathy on the hot seat a little bit. Kathy's mother, Dodie Kallick, was a leading member of the Chicago area folk music scene of the 1950s and 60s. She helped establish the Old Town School of Folk Music and was the first performer at the No Exit Cafe, introducing traditional musicians such as Frank Proffitt to Midwestern audiences. Kallick's father, Bruce Kallick, was an amateur guitarist who gave Kathy a Doc Watson LP along with her first guitar. Kathy began performing by singing harmony with her mother, and she attended numerous acoustic music concerts and festivals as a teen. Inspired by other Chicago songwriters of the time, such as John Prine, Steve Goodman, and Tom Dundee, she began writing and performing her own songs at coffee houses. When she accompanied old-time fiddler Michael Drayton, she switched from being a finger picker to a flat-picking guitarist. She discovered bluegrass music while attending the San Francisco Art Institute. She got her degree in 1977. And out in California, the local music scene was welcoming to women and songwriters. In 1975, Kathy Kallick, Lori Lewis, Barbara Mendelson, Dorothy Baxter, and Sue Schalasky performed three songs at an open mic. This marked the beginning of the Good Old Persons, one of the first all-women bluegrass bands. They released an album in 1977 and enjoyed a 20-year run, releasing five albums and touring throughout the U.S., including two appearances at Bill Monroe's Bean Blossom Festival, as well as performances in Canada and Europe. They were one of the first bluegrass bands to incorporate Latin swing, folk, Cajun, and other musical genres into their music, as well as featuring the songwriting, lead playing, and vocal harmonies of women. After the Good Old Persons disbanded, Kallick released three albums under her own name for Sugar Hill. In 1996, she formed the Kathy Kallick Band. Many records and years and a few personnel changes later, the current iteration consists of Kathy and her original band member Tom, Annie on fiddle, Tom's on mandolin, Annie on fiddle, Greg on dobro and banjo, and Carrie on bass. She's going to introduce them in just a few minutes. And their most recently widely acclaimed record, Foxhounds, came out in 2015. She has won a Grammy, two IBMA awards for True Life Blues, the songs of Bill Monroe. She also received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Northern California Bluegrass Society and a Lifetime Membership Award from the California Bluegrass Association. The band continues to tour widely across North America and Europe, and we're pleased and blessed and thrilled to have them here in our KSUT studio. The Kathy Kallick Band is a headliner for this weekend's 23rd annual Durango Bluegrass Meltdown. They're going to play a couple of tunes for you right now. This is KSUT Four Corners Public Radio welcoming the Kathy Kallick Band.
I'm ready.
One, two, three, four.
I'm not your honey baby now. Disunderstands what you're telling me. No one answers what you give to me. You told a lie, look me in the eye. I'm not your honey baby now. Your foolish grin, I'm not your honey baby now. This kind of treatment making me so sad. This kind of treatment makes me feel so bad, and it makes me mad. I'm not your honey baby now. I used to be so sweet.
sweet like honey from a bee. Now you're gonna see that queen bee can sting and sting again. This bee can sing. I'm not your honey baby now.
That is a tune from our new record, and it's more in the old-time style of music because we do some of that too. Annie's an awesome old-time fiddler, and Annie Stanenitz plays the fiddle with us, and she lives in Portland, Oregon, and Tom Beckany plays the mandolin. We've been playing together for the last 20 years, and he and I live in the Bay Area in California. Carrie Black, our newest member, he's only been in the band for 5 years? 4 years?
4 years,
yeah, playing the bass from Seattle, Washington. And Greg Booth plays banjo and dobro, and he's from Anchorage, Alaska. So we're a West Coast band, really, like all up and down the West Coast. So every time we play, it's a tour, and that keeps it fresh for us. Here's another one that's from that new record. It's one that Carrie and I made up together called So Dang Lonesome.
Thank you.
That is such a part of bluegrass, the lonesome.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, we're the Lonesome Four Corners Public Radio Station this afternoon, KSUT, and I'm Susie B. You're tuning in just now. We're listening to the Kathy Kalik Band live in the KSUT studio. Such an honor to have her here. First Class Bluegrass happening in Durango this weekend, and the Kathy Kalik Band, one of the headliners, along with Danny Barnes. Kathy, you know, we were talking in my intro, I talked about how long you've been at this. You've been really, you know, I think of artists that have influenced me in radio. Uh-huh. As a woman, and I just put you in that category, of course, with Lori Lewis, but Linda Ronstadt, Bonnie Raitt, you know, maybe sort of the West Coast side of the happening in the 70s, but you were forging your own path in the bluegrass world with kind of outside of the bluegrass, you know, mecca, I guess.
It's true.
Yeah, what was going on out in California on the West Coast back then, and how do you see your career having arched this far, and now it's so much more in the mainstream. I mean, it's really kind of remarkable. You've got bands like Mumford & Sons playing banjo on rock stages, and the festivals have gotten huge. It's really come so far.
It really is. It's really a big, big thing now. Mm-hmm. When I first started going and listening to bluegrass, there weren't a lot of women that you could see. There weren't any women role models in bluegrass. I was very swept away by the singing of a guy named Pat Enright, who was singing a couple nights a week in San Francisco, and I would go from, you know, my art school persona down there to listen to bluegrass, and I loved this guy singing. He's with Nashville Bluegrass Band. And there were some women that were getting together and playing bluegrass but not performing, and those are all the women that you said. And we decided it would be fun just to put together three songs and just go into open mic night at this Paul Saloon in San Francisco, and also the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley, and just be so good that we would just knock everybody out. And that would be so fun. So we did that, and then we got hired.
Yeah, because you were so good.
Well, I mean, I guess we were good enough, and and then that first band, you know, it was pretty groundbreaking, because there just wasn't any other such thing at the time. There were other bluegrass bands that formed and old time bands that formed that were all women in the years, you know, just shortly after that. It was kind of a thing, but I think it got launched on the West Coast because the Bay Area music scene, you know, there was, as you say, you know, Linda Ronstadt, Grace Slick, Janis Joplin,
well,
Maria Muldaur.
And the Grateful Dead, too. I mean, they were all crossing over. Everybody was crossing
over.
Yeah,
and they had Donna sing with them some of the time, too. So, you know, maybe they were more used to seeing women in a lead role in a band. But, the Bay Area was welcoming. But definitely as we left the Bay Area and went, you know, elsewhere in the country, we did experience what all women were experiencing when they tried to play bluegrass. We were singing it in the wrong key, because we weren't singing it in the key that it was on the record, because our voices were higher. And they didn't think we had the physical strength to play those instruments. And festival promoters were all men, and they didn't want to pay me, because it was just unsavory to transact money with a woman. So I would have to get somebody, a guy from the band. There were two guys in the band at that time. You know, which one of you guys will go get paid? We don't want to get paid. We're not the leader. He's only going to pay a guy. So one of you guys has got to go get paid. So, you know, all that has changed now. There are a lot of festivals that are run by women, sound crews, stage crews, you know, aside from the recording sessions, you know, that are all run by women, aside from, of course, the performers.
Well, and lots of the bands are co-ed now. You have, you know, lots of men and women in the band, like you have now in your current configuration.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a beautiful sound, too, and you blend the voices and all the instrumentation. It's so rich. Your band has such an incredible, rich sound. I just love listening to you. It makes me feel really good. And, you know, I'm a latecomer to bluegrass. I grew up on rock and roll and whatever was going going on in Tucson at the time, album rock, we'll call it, and got introduced to bluegrass through community radio. And moving up here to the Four Corners, I'm pretty new up here, but bluegrass is so much a part of the scene up here. And to bring you and artists like you to, here to the 23rd Annual Durango Bluegrass Meltdown, we're really, really fortunate in such a little small population of people tucked away in a beautiful area to bring such first-class performers such as yourself here. So
it's a first-class festival. Tom and I played it in maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago. We've been trying to figure out before this personnel, with the first personnel of the Kathy Kallick Band. And it was a smaller-scaled festival, mm-hmm. but we just loved it. We had a great time, and Durango is so beautiful. So we've been trying to get back here.
Well, good. We're glad you're here.
We're glad to be here.
Play us another song, and we'll chat some more.
All right. So we're not holding down the hardcore bluegrass slot here, but that's okay. There's plenty of that at the festival. We're going to do a song now that I made up kind of based on conversations with Greg Booth about his life up in Anchorage, Alaska, getting on towards summertime.
Oh, the sun rose early and stayed up late, like a farmer out on a second date. Caution thrown out to the wind, just burn the candle at both ends. And every year it goes this way, in a feverish frenzy that lasts all day. It may feel languid and lazy, the longest day of the year. The longest day of the year, the sun stays high, crazy hours of light. Stolen from the winter time for the longest day of the year. Got up early and puttered around, watered the garden, drove into town. Met friends for breakfast at the Java Hound. It's never gonna get dark. Then I lay in the hammock and read for a while. Walked the dog a couple of miles. It updated some files. It's never gonna get dark. Oh, the longest day of the year. The sun stays high, crazy hours of light. Stolen from the winter time for the longest day of the year. Friends came over and we picked some tunes, played croquet like we do in June. Then we all went fishing at a barbecue, still not getting dark. The sun's still high with plenty of light. We had a picnic around midnight, discussed the meaning of life, had a stupid fight, still not getting dark. Oh, longest day of the year, the sun stays high. Crazy hours of light, stolen from the winter time for the longest day of the town. Twilight kisses in the shadows we found. The sky got almost dark. We fell into the sound of sleep for about 3 hours. It was deep. A rocket's riot of birds at 5:15, the second longest day of the year. Whoa, the longest day of the year. The sun stays high, crazy hours of light. Stolen from the winter time for the longest day of the year. The longest day of the year.
See. You're listening to the Kathy Kalik Band here on KSUT Four Corners Public Radio. Thanks so much. Love that song. That's off of the new album also?
It is, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this album. Recorded in 2015. I love the story of the title track.
Thank you. Good.
Tell everybody about that and hanging out with Bill and the dogs.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that happened as the good old person's got more established in the bluegrass world is we got to know Bill Monroe. He came out to the West Coast quite a bit, and we made friends with him and got to go back and play his festival a couple of times, and then went to visit him on his farm in Tennessee, and there was an evening when a bunch of musicians, a lot of younger musicians like myself and some of the, old guard, all came over to the house, and there was a music party. And towards the end, Bill told everybody, put on your coats, because it was November, and come out on the porch, and I've got a treat for you. And we all did that. We came out, and he went, and he let all of his foxhounds out of the barn, and they all went out in the hills of his property.
How many were there?
You know, I'm going to say they were... I had had an afternoon of romping with the puppies, which they were very wild puppies, and I was a bit bitten and clawed up by them, because I just thought they're so cute, and I got down on the ground, and he laughed and laughed because I was really being silly. But I think of the adult ones, there were maybe about 15, 20 of
them.
That's
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what one of his big memories of his childhood was, going out with his father and listening to the foxhounds, and after we'd been listening for a while, he got his mandolin and he started playing along with it. So you could hear, that he was trying to imitate that sound. And it was just a little thing he gave us to so that we could see that, that was one of the ways he made music, was to just listen to the sounds around him and try and capture it.
Beautiful. How long ago did you write that song?
I wrote that song just a couple of years ago. And I was talking with another songwriter. And he was saying, and he was writing a song about all the, masters of the style of music and what they would each do to kind of cheer themselves up. And he was pulling quotes from the songs. It was clever. And he got to Bill Monroe and, I can't remember what he said. Bill Monroe would, play with his Uncle Pen or something like that. And I said, no, I know what he would do to cheer himself up. He would let those foxhounds out and listen to that. You should put that in your song. He said, no, you should write that song.
Awesome.
That's a guy named Joe Newbery.
Great story.
So then, and then it was just easy after that.
Yeah. Well, we touched briefly on the West Coast sound. How do you think it's different from, what would you call classical bluegrass, Eastern U.S. bluegrass with traditional bluegrass?
Well, when we started, Tom and I, in the mid-70s, the bluegrass played in Northern California was very traditional. It was very Monroe-based or Stanley Brothers. And we had two bluegrass heroes in our area, Vern Williams and Ray Park, who were very influential with us. And you have the you have the record that Lori Lewis and I made just a couple of years ago, paying tribute to those two guys who were, they were our source. They were our roots that we could see all the time in California. But what was going on elsewhere, like in the Southeast, for young people is they weren't necessarily playing traditional music, the traditional bluegrass they'd grown up with. They were starting to incorporate, more modern sounds. Well, Greg, you were in the Washington, D.C. area. You probably, there was chromatic banjo style coming up. And
Seldom seen,
and country gentlemen putting Bluegrass Revival, putting, more modern songs in. But on the West Coast, we were really adhering to the traditional sound. So that's where it started out for us. But then David Grisman came along, and Frank Wakefield did a residency. So we kind of had, those, very virtuoso instrumentalists also. Mm-hmm. And that became a big part of the West Coast sound, too. And just, a willingness to step outside of rigid confines of genre and blend things together. And that's something that I've just liked all along. And every band I've been in has played, a country song or a swing song, Hank Williams song, old time song, and just, you know, in the early days of the Good Old Persons, people didn't like that necessarily. Some people said, you're not a bluegrass band, you have a clawhammer banjo, and that's not bluegrass. But nobody cares so much about mm-hmm. that anymore. There are bluegrass bands that barely have any banjo at all. So it's just kind of, it's opened up.
Yeah, definitely. And again, we talk about it's gone way more mainstream. You can see instruments in all kinds of bands and
yeah,
all kinds of
bands.
Yeah, a
little banjo goes a long way.
Definitely. Even Annie DeFranco's playing banjo these days. Let's hear another song and remind people that you can listen to. Let's tell people when you're playing and
okay.
where. You've got your list of of gigs here coming up for the weekend. And
so,
let me let people know, too, you can check the website, DurangoMeltdown.com. And is that the right one? Is that, I'd say that right? DurangoMeltdown.com. Yeah, DurangoMeltdown.com for the complete schedule. But we're going to let you know where Kathy and her band are performing this weekend.
Well, there are these multiple venues, but they're all pretty close together. We start tonight at 7 o'clock at the Henry Strader Theater, and then at 9 o'clock, the Durango Arts Center. My understanding is they're a block and a half apart.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so that'll be
nothing
nice and
too far.
Probably we won't get lost.
No.
And then tomorrow, we play at 1 p.m. at the Wild Horse Saloon, and then at 5 p.m. back at the Durango Arts Center.
Wonderful.
So we get to, you know, we get to sample all the different styles of venues that are presenting the festival.
And lucky for the audience, they're going to have four opportunities to hear you and several of the other bands. So again, if you're listening out there, make sure you check the website for the complete schedule of venues and bands. And we're going to listen to another song from the wonderful Kathy Kallick Band here on KSUT.
Thanks, Susie.
You bet.
We're going to play a new one for us. We're starting to build repertoire for another album, which is really fun for us. And one of the things we've got up and running pretty good, is a tune that Greg's going to play on the dobro. And it comes from Western swing style of music. Buddy
Bob
Emmons?
Wills. Oh, Bob Wills and Herb Remington in 1950 had a hit record with us. And while Kathy was chatting, I tuned my dobro down into an old Western swing tuning, D6 B minor, for the boot heel drag.
Yeah, the boot heel drag. Thank you.
Wonderful live music in the KSUT studios from the Kathy Kallick Band. You can catch them tonight at 7 at the Henry Strader Theater, at 9 at the Durango Arts Center, and much more. Many bands playing. It's the 23rd annual Durango Bluegrass Meltdown. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Susie. It's been really fun being here.
Really fun for me, too. What an honor.